Page 127 of the Ministry of Healing. So we're going to go there again, because what that page contains is everything that we need as medical missionaries. So the only hope of better things is the education of people in the right principles. Let the physicians teach the people that restorative power lies not in drugs, but in nature. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that arise because of a violation of the laws of health. In case of sickness, we're told three things. In case of sickness, the cause must be ascertained, wrong habits corrected, and how do we know what the habits are? What do we compare them with? Those eight laws, yeah? Wrong habits corrected. There's one more thing. Unhealthful conditions changed. Chop the trees down to let the sunlight into the house. Get a window into the bathroom so you get fresh air in there to stop the mold growth. So, unhealthful conditions changed. That's the first three. And remember what we're looking at, history. So history and symptoms give you some indications there. And the last thing, she says, then nature is to be assisted. Nature is to be assisted in her efforts to expel impurities and re-establish right conditions back in the body. That's not quite right, is it? Assisted. There's another S in there. Assisted. And this is where the water therapies come into it. So we're making the afternoon meetings more practical. So even though it's not practically possible for everyone to do the water treatments, what I want to do is go through the basic principles behind the water therapies. And this brings in nature is now to be assisted in her efforts to expel impurities and re-establish right conditions back in the system. And do you remember, students, the largest organ of elimination?
Skin.
The skin, that's right. And basically that's what is being affected by water therapies. And then in page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, it says pure air, sunshine, temperance, rest, exercise, proper diet, use of water. I'm always intrigued as to the very words used. Use of water. In other words, there's a time to drink water and there's a time not to drink water. When is the time we don't drink water? It's when we're eating our meals, because it will water down our hydrochloric acid, which is the very enzyme that's required to break our food down. So the only way you can do that is to drink in between the meals. Use of water. So with drinking, there's a time to drink water and there's a time not to. But use of water also implies there's a way to use water. There's a way to use water. And I always take great note of these, because the last phase of that sentence says, these are the true remedies. What are they? The true remedies. Because there are some remedies that aren't true. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Or isn't that right? These are the true remedies. So whenever you're looking for how to help a person, where do you go first? You go first to the true remedies. We'll be looking at some water treatments, but they will not be very effective unless these remedies are implemented. And to be able to start a health retreat of your own, knowledge is needed in these areas. But also, some simple water treatments can do amazing amount. So to know how these water treatments work, we need to look at water. And water is the best conductor of hot and cold to the body. And we are warm-blooded creatures. And we don't like cold, is that right? We don't like finishing the hot shower with cold. We don't like diving into the cold winter stream. The only way I can dive into the cold winter stream is to get very hot first. So our guests get very hot in the steam and then they can dive in the cold winter stream. And I run up and down hills in the morning and I get very, very hot. Then I can dive into the cool winter stream because we're up in the mountains, so the water is quite cool, as I imagine it probably is around here. So let's have a look at water. We're looking at hot water. Now, hot water is a stimulant. And we all know that if you're cold and you have a hot shower, you feel that stimulating effect. In fact, often it's, oh, it's a little bit hot if your body's cold. And then as it warms up, it's not terribly hot anymore, is it? Your body has adjusted to it. So hot initially is a stimulant. But when the hot remains on the body, there's a slowing down that we'll call it a depressant. Meaning it depresses the movement. Because what are we stimulating when hot water is applied to the body?
The blood.
The blood. That's what we're stimulating, blood. And the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. What verse is that? Leviticus 17:11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So this is life. So what has blood got in it to be life? It's got red blood cells. And the red blood cells carry three main things. They carry, yeah, and it's the hemoglobin on the red blood that carries oxygen, the most vital element needed for life. Nutrients. Our stomach's very busy at the moment digesting lunch, and little by little, the nutrients are going into the blood. And tomorrow I'll show you straight to the project manager, the liver. And then the liver determines what happens to those nutrients. And the third thing is water. But right now I want to list the four vitals, four vital elements needed for life. And you can find this any chemistry book, biology book, anatomy and physiology book. Four vital elements needed for life. Number one is oxygen. Number two is water. Number three, does anyone know? Sodium. And number four is potassium. Sodium is found in highest concentrations in seawater. That's why our salt's important. Potassium, where do we get that from? All our fresh fruits and vegetables. They're high in potassium. These are the four vital elements needed for life. And it is the blood that is the carrier of those. Blood also, the red blood cells do something else. They carry away waste. And that's very important. The red blood cells are the oxygen carriers, the nutrient carriers, the water carriers, and that carries away waste. That's an important part. But the blood also contains white blood cells. What are the white blood cells? They're your internal army. No wonder the Bible calls the blood the life of the flesh. And no matter what the problem in your body, all it needs is blood. So if you want to wonder cure, you know what it is? Blood. It's the blood. And water is the best mover of blood. So I want to show you how water affects the blood. So when you apply hot water to the body, it has a stimulating effect. And it takes approximately 3 minutes to get from the stimulating effect to the depressing effect. Cold. When you first apply cold to the body, what's the effect?
Yes.
It's a stimulant. That's right. In fact, it's the best stimulant there is. A young man who's a friend of mine, he got into the habit of having coffee every morning. And he rang me one day and he said, I found something better than coffee. I said, oh, I'm so glad. He said, I finished my hot shower with cold in the morning. It's a stimulating effect. That's why we go, when it touches us. So the hot is a stimulant. But it's not long once the cold, or once the person is in the cold water, before what happens? Depression. This is why so many people died when the Titanic went down. There were many people in that water. And their body just stopped. It just stopped. And they usually just laid their hand down and appeared to go to sleep, but they actually drifted into death. And you might have heard stories of mother and the little children caught out in the snow, and the little children just want to lay down and sleep. And we can't, we must keep moving, because they would die. Because that's what the effect of cold. And so when we first apply cold to the body, the stimulation that we experience is a reaction. So that stimulating effect is a reaction. How long does it take to get from stimulant to depression?
30 seconds.
That's right, 30 seconds. That's not long, is it? 30 seconds. Now, the intrinsic factor of cold is that it's a depressant. That's the intrinsic effect of cold. It is a depressant. The intrinsic factor of hot is stimulation. Whereas the reaction of hot is to slow down. So what we do to move blood, because I think we've just determined any part of the body that's not working well, we need more blood. So what we do is we use the intrinsic effect of heat and we use the reaction effect of cold. So let's have a look at this. Let's say someone has just sprained their ankle and the foot is swelling and they're in a lot of pain. We'll do 3 minutes hot, 30 seconds cold, and we do that 3 times. Now, if the response is this, because you're looking for your response, if the response is the swelling's not going down, after one dip of hot and one dip of cold, Go to 1 minute hot and 1 minute cold. Because we actually want a very much slowing down of the inflammatory response in there, in the foot. Can you see how you're also looking at response there? So, but this is the rule of thumb, is 3 minutes hot. And where would we use 3 minutes hot? So you see, whenever you've got an inflammatory condition, you want to use a little less hot and a little more cold. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds, ice. And usually it is done three times. Mm-hmm. Because the body's getting exhausted. Because a huge amount of blood is being drawn into that area. So it takes a lot of energy from the body. Now, sometimes if the person, you do it three times and they go, can we do more? If they're vibrant and fairly fit, they can probably take a little bit more. If it's a little child or an elderly person, you might just say, we'll do it again in an hour. We'll do it again in 2 hours. So it's very important that you watch responses. So let me tell you of a little 7-year-old boy. His mother came to see me, this a few years ago in New Zealand. And when he came in, I could see his finger was twice the size. It was all red, and the swelling on top, it was all yellow. And I said, so what are we doing there? History. I said, what happened to the finger? And the mother said, oh, the doctor says it's cellulitis. Do you know what cellulitis is? Yeah. Inflammation of the cell. Now, that's not rocket science, is it? But why? Why is it inflamed? So I went a little bit further with my history. Did anything happen to that finger? Because you just don't wake up with a finger like that. Unless a spider's crawled on you and bitten your finger. But you see, still there's a cause. In case of sickness, ascertain the cause. She said, well, he had a blister there and he was playing with his little cars in the dirt and the blister broke. So what have we got going in there? We've got going in the broken skin. We've got dirt. Now, your skin is like a suit of armour. And that suit of armour is to keep any harmful pathogens, dirt, out. Yeah. Now it's broken. And now it's getting in. So very, very quickly, the body sets up an immune response. And it sends lymphatic fluid there. Lymphatic is your body's vacuum cleaner. And with your blood, you've got five different types of white blood cells. And the lymphocytes are the scouts. So they contact the neutrophils and they come in abundance. So you've got swelling and all that yellow on top. Remember, it's dead white blood cells. What often happens in an injury, the blood tends to sit or pool in that area. So what we've got to do is move fresh supplies in and get the old out. So I questioned a little bit more. I said, what have you been doing? Oh, he's on his second course of antibiotics. And it still looks like that. And what's the definition of insanity? To do what you've always done and expect different results. And I'm not criticizing this mother. She didn't know what else to do. Can you see these stories that I relate show you that the only hope of better things is the education of people in the right principles? She said he's on painkillers because it's so painful. Do you know that most pain is due to inflammation? And if you can get inflammation down, you can get pain down. And this is an incredibly effective way to get inflammation down. He's also on sleeping tablets. He's 7. I said, can I try something? See, what you're doing, you're getting permission. This is where the I comes in. I never do anything without permission. So I said to the mother, can I try something? And to the little boy, yes. So I've got two cups, one with hot water and a kettle of boiling water. One with cold water with a few ice cubes. And I've got to work with this little boy. And you know, God is not a God of force, is he? And a man convinced against his will be of the same opinion still. So you're working with the will. You're always working with the will. You'll always get permission. So I said to him, put a good finger into the hot water. Oh, yeah, that's quite nice. So now he is willing to put his sore finger in, because you see what he's just done? He's just gained a bit of confidence because the good finger liked it. He put his sore finger in. Oh, what am I watching for response? So I put an ice cube in the hot water. And I said, try that now. After a few minutes, he said, ah, yes. Now, the first hot wasn't really hot because his finger was so tender. But I know that after the cold, he'll be able to handle more hot. Mm. So how long in the hot?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Then into the cold for 30 seconds. Can you see what we're doing here, students? We are using the two stimulating effects, the intrinsic of hot and the reaction of cold, to move blood. Because that's what we're moving, blood. That's what it's stimulating, blood movement. 30 seconds in the cold. While it's in the cold, I get the boiling kettle and I put a little bit in. And he's watching me. And I said, put your good finger in. Are you happy with that? He said, yes. I said, after being in the cold, I think your sore finger will be okay. So he agreed. And it was okay. Often that numbing effect of the cold will allow a little bit more heat. How long did I have it in the hot? 3 minutes. Using the intrinsic factor of hot, which is stimulation. And then back into the cold. The little boy started to smile. What does this response tell you? He's getting relief. Already? What are we up to now? We're up to about 7 minutes. Is that right?
Yeah.
7 minutes. And he's getting relief. How long does it take a painkiller to take effect? Half hour? Yeah. 7 minutes. Back into the hot. Again, I put a little bit more boiling in. He's watching me. I'm smiling. Smile all the time. You know what the smile says to children? Everything's good. That's why I've said to mothers before, when you go into your sick child, don't frown and don't look worried. Smile, even though you're terrified. Smile. Because that can compound the whole situation. And finished with 30 seconds cold. Because we're warm-blooded creatures, you always start with a warm and you always finish with the cold. And then we dried it off. And that little boy had the biggest smile on his face. Now, his body language told me, I think his pain level had reduced by more than 50%. He was very happy. And then I grated a potato, made a poultice. We'll be looking at that in another afternoon session, and we certainly will be able to more demonstrate that. That's more possible. And then bandaged it up. And then asked God to bless that simple poultice. His mother said, what will I do now? I said, you could do it every few hours. He'll tell you when he needs it. And I said, I would like to suggest, so it's probably 11 in the morning now, I'd like to suggest that by tomorrow morning, when you take, every time you do a hot and cold, do a fresh potato, I'd like to suggest that by then I think the finger will be down and that poultice will have drawn everything out. So when they got home, it was about 2 o'clock, and the little boy said, Mum, can we do that again? Now, why did the little boy say that? Because he experienced the relief that it brought. And I wouldn't be surprised that maybe it was starting to build up again. So they did it again at 2, fresh potato poultice. They did it again at, I think, 6 or 7, let him have his shower, and then put a fresh one on. And in the morning, didn't need sleeping tablets that night, didn't need painkillers that night. In fact, he slept the best he'd slept for 10 days. And then in the morning, she said, when they took the poultice off, everything just came out. Wow. Do I need to advise them anymore? Can you see what they're doing now? If it works, do it. So if it's good, do it again. If the pain comes back in 2 hours, do it every 2 hours. Because we have been spoon-fed medically, and it's taken away all responsibility for what's happening with us, I find one of the hardest things I do is to encourage people to trust their bodies and listen to their body's response. So I often say to people, have you ever been to a doctor or a health professional who won't listen to you? And you'll get lots of nods. And I say, don't be that doctor. If your body speaks, listen. If it works, do it. If it gets hurt again, try it again. Remember, there's a bit of time here. Time is necessary. Now, those treatments will be far more effective if that little boy is drinking adequate water, if that little boy is going to bed early, if that little boy is getting nourishment. You see what the laws do? They ensure quality blood. And the blood, as you can see, is the healer. All we need is blood. And those hot and colds are the most effective at bringing blood to an area. So you can do hands, you can do feet. Our exercise coordinator was playing soccer with his boys and he twisted his knee. So he had two tubs this big and he'd kneel on the floor and put the knee in hot and put the knee in cold. He found that on his hands and knees, he found that that was just the best way to do his knees. And I was, I got a new pair of joggers. They were my barefoot joggers, and running up hills, I think I used different muscles and I strained the bottom of my foot. So to the point that I got plantar fasciitis. Have you heard of plantar fasciitis? There's a ligament on the bottom of your foot called the plantar fascia. And itis just means inflamed. And I didn't know what was wrong with my foot. I tried this, I tried that. I jumped out of an aeroplane doing a skydive about 18 years ago. And I thought, it was that foot, maybe somehow it's become inflamed again. So I went to see a doctor and I explained it to him. And he looked at my foot, he laughed, he said, you've got plantar fasciitis. I said, what? Plantar fasciitis? He said, yeah, that'll take 10 months to heal that. So I went home and I got two buckets. And I did 3 minutes hot and 30 seconds ice cold, three times. And I did it every morning and I did it every night. And if I was travelling, lecturing, because this is 8 years ago now, I had buckets in the car. And whenever you stay in a hotel, what have you always got? A motel? A kettle, because everyone wants cups of coffee. And a little freezer in the fridge, because everyone wants ice on the rocks, is that right? Or gin on the rocks, or they want. So the first thing I do is check, yes, I've got ice, and I could do hot and colds. Now, how long does that take? At the very most, 15 minutes. That's not long, is it? So I did hot and colds. And I got those famous German sandals, Birkenstocks, which were great for the feet. In fact, I still wear them most of the time. And in 6 months, it was totally healed. How long did he say it would take me? 10 months, yeah. So often with ligaments, it takes a lot longer. Bones are quick because you can immobilize them. If I was on my feet lecturing and my foot would start to ache and I'd stand on one foot, I'd go straight home and I'd do hot and colds and my pain levels could go from 8 out of 10 to 1 out of 10. Hydrotherapy, this is water therapy, has been used for centuries, and in the area of pain relief, it is without peer or without equal. I've just quoted a statement from one of Dr. Kellogg's water books. And I saw that in my plantar fasciitis. I saw that in this little boy. It's those hot and colds. Because remember, what's the number one causes of pain? Inflammation. And can you see how this brings down the inflammation by moving the old, stale blood out of the area and naturally reducing it? And so a year later, a man emails me, said, "Barbara, I've got plantar fasciitis. What can I do?" And I say, "Aha, hot and colds, at least once a day, twice if possible. Basically, the more often you do it, the quicker it's going to heal." 2 weeks later, he emails back, "I've still got it." I said, "Yes, it's going to take time. But I experienced that you can manage it with these hot and colds." A week later, "I'm going back to the doctor. It's not better." And the doctor gave him a cortisone injection straight into the foot. Cortisone will reduce inflammation, but guess what? Just comes back. 2 months later, "Barbara, I've still got it. What do I do?" Do you know what I said to him? "I just go back to my previous email. I'm very gracious, but I've already told him." You see that? I have told him. There it is. There it is. There it is. We had a lady do our program and she was limping. She was a little overweight, and whenever people are carrying excess weight, that always puts extra pressure on knees, ankles. I said, "What's the matter with your foot?" She said, "I've got plantar fasciitis." I said, "Oh, how long have you had it?" 18 months. 18 months. Whew. So we did hot and colds in the morning, hot and colds in the afternoon. And what we do with our guests, we'll do the first one on them, and then after that we'll let them do it. Because remember what our institutions are? Teaching. Teaching people how to do it themselves when they go home. Within 3 days she's walking. Walking. She's not better, but she's come a long way. So such a simple thing. Whenever there's inflammation, the hot and colds have a huge effect. What about on the chest? Well, on the chest, you would use fermentations. And there's a couple of things you can do for fermentations. I first read about this with Dr. Kellogg's work. And he says, get a big saucepan of boiling water. And he said, you must use wool. When you're using when you're doing hydrotherapy treatments, it must all, and you're putting wool on it, it must be wool. Always wool. Wool is a far better conductor, and it doesn't chill and it holds the heat much longer. So I got a woolen blanket and cut it into four, and I would fold it in half, fold it in half, fold it in half again so it's long. And this is what he says to do, because this is how I first started. I just had his book. You twist it. And then you dip it in the water, and then you twist. You twist and you pull it out, and the excess water runs off. And then you take it to a table and fold it out so it's that wide. Remember, it was only that wide when I dipped it, so I fold it out half. It's this long, and then I quickly fold it in thirds, and then I wrap it up in a towel. And that'll keep hot even for probably 5 minutes. And then I go to the person. And why am I doing a fermentation on their chest? Because they've got asthma or a pneumonia, but a congested chest. And what I do is I lay a hand towel over there that's dry. Then I put this, open up, quickly put the pack on, and then cover it with another woolen blanket. And then I watch them very carefully. In fact, I'm staring at their face. I say, "Is that okay?" You never press down, because this is steam. You just lay it. If they say it's too hot, you just pull the whole top off and you wipe the moisture off with your hand. And then lay it down again. And watch them very closely. Watching the response is of the essence. It's too hot again. Fine. You never say, "No, it's not." You never say, "You should be..." No, no, no. You must listen and just respond. And I found some people can handle it very hot, some people cannot. You just got to go with them. And then you quickly pull it up and wipe the moisture off the skin with your hand and lay the whole thing down. And usually by then they can handle it. And then you time how long? 3 minutes. And then take it off and you have a bowl with iced water. You have a couple of washes. Because you wipe it over, it'll only take a few seconds. By then the wash is hot. So you've got another one there. You use the other one, then the other one there. And so that you're icing it for about 30 seconds. And they might give a little scream, but you smile very sweetly and say you're getting a great reaction there. And then you dry the whole area off and cover. And then you might have already got a hot compress ready, or do it again. Dip it, wring it out. Now, what a lot of people do now is they'll get wool or a towel, they'll wet it, wring it out, they'll put it in a microwave, and you can get it very hot in a microwave. There is a use for your microwave. I can't think of anything else. So that's a quick way that a lot of people choose to do now. And then I do that 3 times. And what I find when the second hot compress goes on, you can't use the same towel or blanket. You've got to use a dry one so that you can get it up to that heat. Because the one you've just used is now cold and you will not be able to get it up to that heat. Because what I find is the third hot, they can usually handle it hotter. Because they've got used to the hot and then the cold helps them to cope with that. And that brings incredible relief, even though it's a bit of work, incredible relief to anyone with a congested chest, asthma, just opens those bronchioles because what you're getting in there now is steam. Remember page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, where it says, the use of natural remedies requires amount of care and effort that many are not prepared to give. But oh, the results, and so quickly. You can also do that on the spine. So doing those compresses on the spine, obviously you'd keep it long if you're doing it on the spine, but same thing, put a dry hand towel there. Every time you put another hot compress on, you put a fresh, dry towel on there. That's very important. And you will never burn anyone. If they say it's too hot, you take the water off the chest, the condensation, because that can get quite hot. So you scoop that off with your hand and then lay the pack back down again. Again, watching your patient very, very carefully. How long does it take? It only takes about 15 minutes. But someone who's got back pain, that can really help there. What about the hips? Well, you can do the compresses there, or there's something else you can do, and that is sitz baths. So what are sitz baths? Well, you probably know better than me that apparently sitz is German for sit, is that right? So what are sitz baths? Sitz baths is doing this same process, but they're sitting. They're sitting the hips in that area. So it would basically... You want 2 baths big enough for the person to sit in. So they're basically like this. And there's the water there. So the water is to cover probably from waist to mid-thigh. And they sit in the hot for 3 minutes. Now someone especially who's sensitive to cold, when they're doing the hot and cold, they can have their feet in hot water. So... Again, the hot for 3 minutes, and then out of the hot into the same sort of tub, but cold. So let's say this is the hot, and that's hot. So we've got another tub here, and this one's the cold. And the little tub they put their feet in, it's hot. So the feet you always have in the hot. And that can be very helpful for someone who is maybe a little underweight who really feel the cold. And when you finish the 3 minutes hot, the 30 seconds cold, when the person stands up to dry themselves, then they put their feet into the cold and finish. You always finish with cold. And you might like to write this down because this is important. Cold equalizes the circulation. Because we've really disrupted circulation with this movement. It equalizes the circulation and it prevents chilling, closes the pores. So finishing with cold is very important. So where would we use the sitz baths? You could use the sitz baths for constipation. You could use the sitz baths for irritable bowel, for Crohn's disease, colitis. You could use the sitz baths for hemorrhoids. Now, if the person's hemorrhoids are such that it's hard to sit, have you seen those rubber pillows that have a ring, blow up? So a blow up pillow like that can be sat on there. That would, especially for be so for someone who's a little underweight and doesn't have much padding on them. So the way you'd use the sitz baths would be for the colon, including all the things that I just mentioned. You would also use it for urinary. Urinary system, which includes the kidneys. That's why it's important that it be right up here. So your kidneys are just under your ribs. So urinary tract infection, incontinence. See, that area is controlled by a muscle. And the hot and colds onto muscles tones and strengthens them. And the other area that you could use it for is reproductive. So for a man, it could be used for prostate problems. The prostate, the closest area to the skin for the prostate is between the scrotum and the anus. So that's the area you want to target if you do treatment. So, you know, you hear a lot about men with prostate problems today. So it could be used for that. It can also be used, of course, for women. So for women, it could be used for fibroids in the uterus. It can be used for cysts on the ovaries, polycystic ovarian syndrome. So there's a lot happening in that area there. So the sitz baths can be very effective for any of these areas. Mm-mm. Now, let's say we've got someone who's just a little overweight and can't get down to sit in the sitz baths, and you're advising what they can do at home. What they can do at home is they can do it in a bath. So here's the bath and here's the water. So they sit in the bath and the only part they allow into the bath is their feet and their hips. And after 3 minutes they can sit up and maybe they'll have a bowl of cold ice water with a towel and they can wrap that around and wrap it maybe between their legs depending on exactly where the problem is. And that will warm up quickly. So you've got another one there and quickly swap it over so that you try and get about 30 seconds of cold to that area. So that is another way that it can be done if sitting in the sitz baths is not possible. Necessity is the mother of invention. So you find a way to be able to do it. But they are very powerful. And I'm going to give you a story to illustrate. We had a young man come and do our program. He was 15 and he was having accidents in the classroom with his bowels. You can imagine how embarrassing that is for a 15-year-old. Sometimes he had diarrhea, that's when he had the accidents. And sometimes he had constipation, he didn't have accidents then. So that told me we've got a couple of problems here. One is the gut's not working well because we shouldn't have alternating diarrhea and constipation. And the other thing it told me, there's something wrong with that anal sphincter, that it cannot hold the feces. He'd already had one operation. You don't want anyone cutting or doing anything to that area. And they didn't want to do another one, as you can imagine. So what we did was we did sitz baths on him every morning and every afternoon. And we assessed the gastrointestinal tract. So he had no diarrhea when he was with us. Things were running well. But he did the sitz baths twice a day. Now, I've got to be realistic, and that's why it's very important as medical missionaries, we are also social workers. There's no use making a program for someone if they just can't do it or not going to do it. That's why it's very important to always be watching the person's response. So how is this 15-year-old boy who goes to school going to do that in the morning? So what I said to him was, keep to the diet and that'll prevent you getting diarrhea so that you're less likely to have an accident, and do the sitz baths every evening. So my suggestion is, let's say you have your shower at 8:30, do the sitz baths at 8:15. So do the sitz baths and go straight into your shower and go to bed. So can you see I'm making a reachable program for him? By the end of the week, this young man was so excited. Can you imagine how embarrassing it is for a 15-year-old? Can you imagine his future? Is he going to be able to have a girlfriend? Will he ever be able to get married? But will he ever be able to... Wow. And often the medical profession at that point coming with the antidepressants. Phew. What will that do? Oh, that'll constipate him even more, but then... Well, that'll stop him having accidents, but then when he gets constipated, it'll bring even more pressure in the area. Can you see the vicious cycle that starts to happen? So he was able to buy 2 tubs. And my suggestion is that he do this for 30 days. Non-stop. Because when you do these sitz baths, say you do one sitz bath, you have an effect. Did you know that the next sitz bath, the effect is doubled? So, I don't know, you do the maths on that. How powerful is number 30? Because the next one intensifies the action of the previous one. And that's why we say 30 days. And then you can have a break for a month. If you want to do it again, do it for another 30 days. I didn't hear back from this young man. Sometimes no news is good news, is that right? Mm-hmm. But we had a lady come 3 years later. So the boy's 19 now. She said, have you heard? I said, no, we haven't. She said, he's totally healed. Mm-hmm. Totally healed. She said, he's just gone on an overseas trip with his parents. He's got a girlfriend. They're thinking of getting married in a few years. How nice. What fixed him? The body. The body, when given the right conditions. Where's the if? The human body will heal itself if given the right conditions. All he did was sit in hot and cold water. It's a very powerful treatment, incredibly powerful. We had a young lady do our program and she was... very beautiful woman. She was a career woman. And she had a little skin tag, maybe a centimetre long, near her anus. She wanted me to have a look. She said, Barbara, I'm thinking of having it cut out. I said, don't. I said, does it cause you any problems? She said, well, no, I just don't want it there. Well, I like to suggest no one sees it. But she made the choice to have it cut. Her husband rang me. He said she can't work, she can't do anything, she's in so much pain. Can you imagine a cut and stitch in that area? That's what they used to do for forms of torture. I said, bring her to the retreat. So they brought her to the retreat. She was a mess. She just cried half the day. She was in so much pain. She didn't want to take painkillers because if she took painkillers, that would constipate her more. So we did sitz baths. And she was able to sit quite comfortably. If she couldn't sit comfortably, we'd put the ring there. Even just those blow-up neck pillows, you could even half blow that up and put it down and they could sit on that. And we just saw every day she got better and better. And we put a little poultice on that at night. You need something very soft and very soothing for the area. I think we use slippery elm, which is very soothing. When her husband came to pick her up, she was standing there smiling and she walked out. He could not believe the difference. Now, she's not better, but she's come so far. She didn't have to take any painkillers because the hot and the colds did it. What did the hot and colds do? They just increased blood to that area. What does that mean? More oxygen, more nutrients, more water, more waste is carried away. And so her wound could heal so much quicker because of that. So simple and yet so powerful, so incredibly powerful. Dr. Kellogg has written something like, he's written textbooks on hydrotherapy, which is water therapy. But what I want to do this afternoon, I want to show you how it works. I want to show you why it affects the body in such a dramatic way. And I wanted to give you some simple treatments that you'll be able to use in your health facility.